Free Talk Live. We are launching into hour number three of the program. You can bring up what you want. Just dial the toll-free number, 559-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. And it's Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features are completely free, so enjoy those on us. Again, that's freetalklive.com. As we continue here and take your calls if you make them, otherwise we talk about things interesting to us. Julia, you brought something in tonight that you wanted to discuss. Generation Sex?
Yes. The name of the article is How the Faceless and Amoral World of Cyberspace Has Created a Deeply Disturbing Generation Sex.
And where is this from?
I don't know.
Okay.
Sounds like they're trying to stir the pot.
It's an opinion. It's an opinion piece, Mail Online, Daily Mail, so it's UK.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
And first of all, what caught my eye about this was the name of the title, How the Faceless and Amoral World of Cyberspace. So is that to say that all aspects of cyberspace are immoral, amoral?
Amoral, it would be absent of morals, without morals. So I suppose it's true that the internet is not necessarily moral or immoral.
When it has the Bible printed on it, because I know that you know, lots of Christians have done lots of stuff on the internet. If you type in search little bit of a verse, you'll find it. Somebody out there has made pretty clear. So I don't know. Sounds like they're trying to paint the internet with a pretty broad brush.
So this is it's an opinion piece written by a mother. She says, these days, everything has changed, and the truths that children tell...
Oh my gosh, you mean things change?
And the truths that children tell make one gasp and stretch one's eyes. A couple years ago, my daughter, Francesca, then aged 13, told me about a party she had been to one Saturday night. In the course of the evening, she came upon one of her friends, also age 13, performing oral sex on a boy in the garden. The boy was standing and videotaping the event on his mobile phone.
Uh-oh.
My daughter...
makes him a child pornographer.
You're right. Maybe not in the UK, or maybe.
Good point.
I don't know. My daughter, in whom the feisty gene has always found strong expression, pulled her friend off the boy, knocked the phone out of his hand, and slapped him round the face. Now, that right there tells me that the daughter's exaggerating.
What do you mean?
I just have a really difficult time believing that that really went on.
You don't know her daughter.
That's true, but I still don't believe it.
She could be a real holy roller, and she could absolutely have stepped in.
She doesn't look like a holy roller in this picture.
Really? Okay.
And she's going to parties where guys are getting oral in the garden.
Good point.
Anyway, I can remember being a teenager, and I remember sort of... I don't know if it's a mother-daughter relationship thing, but if I was feeling brave enough to sort of, tell my mom some of the things that I may have done in the past, mm-hmm. I would exaggerate and try to make myself seem like more of a badass maybe than I really was. And it was just sort of this, like, look, I'm old enough and mature enough to handle situations like this. I've seen things you don't even know I've seen.
I certainly trust your assessment of what a young teen girl would do rather than mine, so certainly.
Either way, I don't think that... I think that something maybe like that might have happened, but that she's definitely exaggerating. But I could be wrong. Maybe that sort of thing...
If they'd show us the video evidence, we'd know for sure.
Well, she knocked the phone out of his hand.
Then we'd all be criminals because she's 13.
That's true.
Just for looking, we'd all be criminals.
Right.
Well, I don't know whether she did or didn't, and I agree with Julia's assessment that likely there's some exaggeration going on here. I don't know that it's the most important part of the story, but I did have a situation in prison where a friend of mine was back somewhere in some offices with a prison homosexual, and I on the weekend when he had ability to go in these offices where no one else would, and I found out from my friends that he was back there with that guy, and I said, yay, get out of there, I'll call your sister. And that got him out relatively quickly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're talking about two prisoners, not a prisoner and a guard.
That's correct.
Okay.
My daughter... Oh, sorry, wrong paragraph. I apologize for shocking you, but then there are a number of things shocking about this event. The casual nature in which such an intimate act is performed in public, the young age of the participants, and last, but by no means least, the fact that it is being filmed. Now... I'm not the public thing. That's definitely not my cup of tea. I was
You're not an exhibitionist.
Yeah, I'm definitely not, but I was certainly more willing to do stupid stuff like that when I was a teenager, and it was really just an attention issue.
Right.
Like, teenagers just really like to get attention. I know everybody likes attention, but I feel like I craved it more.
Teen girls are sort of known for being a little attention-starved.
Right.
Well, teen boys aren't going to get the attention in the same way. How's that?
That's true. So, what's next?
Sorry, I keep losing my place. I'm having... My eyes are strange. My contacts are kind of weirding me out. Sorry. The young age of their participants. Now, I'm not really so sure that 13 is that young to be giving blowjobs.
You're like, too young or not too young?
I don't... I feel like I gave a blowjob when I was 13 or 14.
Well, anything that happened before I had a chance to have it happen is too young as far as I'm concerned.
Maybe that's where her mom is coming from. Maybe because mom wasn't involved in such things at that age that she's taking offense to it.
I
don't know.
I feel like there was always some people start getting laid at 12. Some start at 13. Some start at 14. Some 15, 16. Some people
22.
Don't get laid till they were 22.
Yeah.
Right. I had sex for the first time when I was 15. So I feel like the age just varies for a lot of different people, and that 13 isn't necessarily too young.
But wouldn't you say that, I mean, this is behavior that could get a 13-year-old girl into some pretty dangerous circumstances? I mean, could involve oral herpes. It could involve taking more steps to toward intercourse, which could result in more STDs and unwanted pregnancy. I mean, is it too bad? Is it a bad thing to say that she shouldn't be involved in such things?
Well, we don't know the circumstances of the situation. Maybe she knew he was clean. I'd say
that
that's pretty
unlikely.
I agree. Pretty unlikely. But I don't feel like you can just make a blind statement like that, like you're too young. Because I think that the age where people decide to start doing sexual acts is up to you completely and your experiences and based on, you know, how you feel on the matter.
And a great deal on how they're raised. That's just the long and the short of it. It comes down to it. I had a girlfriend in high school who wasn't religious, who was going to wait till she got married.
Hmm. Wow. That's a poor choice.
Well, I don't know. I don't know whether she did or didn't. I can tell you that by the time she was 19 or 20, she hadn't.
Wow. That's strange. I just don't feel like, I don't know. I started doing stuff with, like, I started fooling around and that sort of thing when I was very young, I guess, to some people. But I don't know. I feel like nowadays I'm a lot more mature than most of the people that are my age. So
well, causation is not necessarily.
I understand what you're coming where you're coming from, but age to me is simply a number, and it means a lot of different things for a lot of different people. And it seems very motherly for someone to just say, you're too young for that.
Right, I agree. I mean, for a mom to say that, well, it was moral when I did it at 18, but it's immoral for my daughter to do it at age 13 is just a mom drawing an arbitrary line. Whatever she's basing that on, it seems irrelevant to me. It's just that she's saying that, well, she feels good about what she did, but she doesn't want her daughter to do the same thing 2 years earlier or 5 years earlier because there's something inherently wrong with that. Is that kind of what she's getting at, that her daughter is being, or this other girl, I guess, this wasn't her daughter, it was the other girl, so the other girl was being immoral for behaving in that particular way? That's what she's getting at, right?
She's getting at that, and there's all this, I think it's a more complicated issue with the girls than it is with boys. Boys have, girls have sex when they are ready, boys have sex when the girl's ready. You got a much more, people have a lot more judgment placed on women and young ladies than they do.
It's not fair.
With men. And, you know, because essentially, for some reason, societally, they've been given the keys to the sex machine.
Well, I believe it's because you're the one that's going to bear the child. So, I mean, it kind of makes a little sense in that way.
Well, the men gave them the keys by wanting the sex so bad. I mean, if the guys didn't want the sex so badly, then the women wouldn't have as much
women
control.
Want sex too.
Sure they do. But if the guy wants sex more, then the woman can use the guy's desire for sex in order to extract gifts or good treatment or whatever it is that she's looking for. And that's fine. I mean, the guy inherently knows this, right? He's willing to jump through whatever hoops she puts up for him in order to get access to sex. 800-259-9231. How do you feel about the idea that young people engaging in sex is immoral? Do you agree that there's something immoral about it? I'd like to address the morality of the issue coming up here in moments and would love your thoughts at 800-259-9231.
I'm Todd Davis, CEO of LifeLock, and what I'm about to tell you is true. My real Social Security number is 457-55-5462. You may think I'm crazy, but I know my identity is safe. At LifeLock, every member is covered by our $1 million total service guarantee.
Every 3 seconds, someone's identity is stolen. It's not just the money that's being stolen. It's your reputation, your credit, and your valuable time to fix the huge mess. At LifeLock, we aim to prevent identity theft before it happens. And if anything happens while you're a client of LifeLock, you'll be protected by our exclusive $1 million total service guarantee. With LifeLock, you'll also see a huge reduction in junk mail and pre-approved credit offers. Call 1-800-603-6487 right now and get 30 days of LifeLock for free. Protect yourself and your family from identity theft. And when you call right now, get 30 days free. Call now, 1-800-603-6487. That's 1-800-603-6487. Again, 1-800-603-6487.
SouthSummit.com is the place for top-name brand knives such as Kershaw, Spyderco, Cold Steel, Gerber, K-Bar, Boker, Leatherman, and more. South Summit has one of the largest selections of self-defense products on the web. Knives, stun guns, police batons, pepper spray, LED flashlights, emergency kits, binoculars, and tactical gear are just some of the great products found on SouthSummit.com. Receive discounted prices on camping and preparedness products from Camelback, Kelty, and Eureka. Check out our water storage barrels, water purification systems, and Mountain House freeze-dried foods that have a 30-year shelf life. Keep an eye on your family and keep them safe with our do-it-yourself spy camera systems. Mention that you heard this ad on the radio and you'll receive a free LED flashlight with your order. Visit SouthSummit.com. That's South Summit, S-U-M-M-I-T, SouthSummit.com. Or call toll-free 1-800-234-8654. That's 1-800-234-8654.
Rough roads might be ahead for the economy, but your vehicle doesn't have to experience them. Can't afford a new vehicle or even an expensive repair? Now you can take care of your vehicle with Protecta Engine Oil Booster by SFR, which is a fully synthetic oil booster. Protecta Engine Oil Booster fortifies your motor oil to help your engine last longer. Protecta Engine Oil Booster has been tested by independent laboratories and proven in over 1 million vehicles worldwide. We'll give you enough Protecta Engine Oil Booster for 5 complete oil changes for only $22.95. That's enough for 2 vehicles for up to 1 year. Start taking care of your vehicle today. Take advantage of this limited time offer and receive free shipping. Protecta Engine Oil Booster is the last defense against engine wear. Go to oilcompanysecret.com or call 1-888-873-7371. That's oilcompanysecret.com or 888-873-7371. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Call 888-873-7371 or visit oilcompanysecret.com.
Have you ever wanted to generate your own supply of electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you will ever hear. Solar power generators are now available from Solutions from Science, one of GCN's oldest and most trusted sponsors. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity for free. It's like having an electric power plant running quietly in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, and even keep food from spoiling. Whether it's hurricanes, ice storms, brownouts, or blackouts, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. When the power goes out, you'll be ready with a solar power generator from Solutions from Science. Go to mysolarbackup.com and get off the grid today. That's mysolarbackup.com today. Or call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365. Don't wait. Call today.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want if you dial toll-free. 800-259-9231. That is the SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, the features we give away. So enjoy those on us. And those features include the bulletin board system with over 400,000 posts. There's a lot to talk about. Serious issues to fun stuff. You find it all free at bbs.freetalklive.com. That's bbs.freetalklive.com.
If you have a company that needs to try something new in the area of collections, SACL CAI, the biggest sponsor of the show, they do collections, early out billing, and they purchase charged-off receivables. SACL's employees are trained in resolving issues for your customers and treating them with respect. They know that not only do you want to collect your money, but you want to keep your clients, too. SACL CAI, you can see their banner at freetalklive.com. I would encourage you, if you have a business or know somebody who does, to make an attempt to support SACL CAI because they do such a good job of supporting Free Talk Live.
800-259-9231, continuing with the story out of the, was it The Guardian, Julia?
Daily Mail.
Daily Mail in the UK, written by a mother, an angry mother, a mother who's very upset with the internet. She calls it amoral, which is actually an appropriate term for the internet. Amoral is meaning without, the definition is not involving questions of right or wrong. So the internet itself is neither right nor wrong. It has various different content.
It's just a series of tubes.
Right. You get to decide for yourself. But she's complaining here because it's apparently spurring kids in her viewpoint to be more sexual. We've barely even gotten to begin this discussion here. So let's dig in a little further and then talk about the issue of whether or not teenagers being involved in sexual things is inherently immoral.
Okay. She writes, that week at school, when conducting a post-mortem of their weekend, as teenagers do and have always done, the girls at her then school, she's since then moved, a private girls' school in London, explained, hooray, we're now sluttier than Slutney, an affectionate nickname of another school. So apparently...
So they're in a competition to see who can be the sluttiest?
The sluttiest. Now, I wonder how much of that is true and how much of that is sort of a joke thing, because whenever I don't know, there are rare occasions where I will put on like a skirt and some like thigh highs or something like that for a sort of a costume thing.
A party, uh-huh.
Right. And I always joke about looking like a skank or dressing like a slut, and it's just funny to me because I don't normally dress that way, and I don't really think I'm a slut, and I'm not really calling myself a slut.
No.
Some women in my generation and younger will refer to each other as hoes or sluts and things like that, and in almost an affectionate way. I mean, I don't know how to, affectionate, but it's kind of
I see where you guys are coming from, but isn't it possible you're both playing this down, that neither of you want to admit that this next younger generation is indeed more sexually interested than the ones that have come before? Isn't it possible that these girls really are attempting to out-slut the other girls at the other school?
It's possible.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like, as though there's some sort of prize out there for who can be the sluttiest. Do they get bragging rights or
whatever?
I'm not
getting chased down the street by hordes of 13-year-olds, so I cannot give an opinion.
Nor am I.
Right. I mean, it's just not happening.
But I'm just saying, I'm going
to
take her at her word on this, and that these young girls are really attempting to out-slut one another. Let's continue.
That year, they were all dressing in Hooters T-shirts, the uniform of the well-endowed waitresses of a U.S. restaurant chain, whose slogan is delightfully tacky yet unrefined, sums it up its approach, and butt-skimming shorts. So I guess wearing, like, short shorts, I mean, that's been around for a really long time. I don't feel like that's anything that's new or...
Right, this is kind of the same old story repeated over and over again. The same old story being that the parents or the generation of older folks is less than pleased with what the younger generation is doing with itself, whether it's, you know, having too much sex or wearing the wrong clothes or not being moral in the same way that they're moral. It's sort of this...
Don't forget the rock and roll.
The rock and roll or the whatever.
Every single generation hates the younger generations, what they do. And it's gone on forever and ever and ever.
Right.
I mean, people who like jazz music, right? When they grew up and had kids, they couldn't stand that their kids liked rock and roll music.
But jazz was offensive to the parents of that time.
Exactly. They were smoking marijuana and dancing with black guys and all. So I feel like this is the same case over and over, like you said, where
sure.
Parents just hate what they see other kids doing.
It is the same case, and it all stems, I think, at least in this country and perhaps in the UK, from a very puritanical past where sexual concepts and ideas and discussions were repressed. You weren't supposed to discuss these things publicly. You were not supposed to show a little bit of leg in the same way that now showing all of your legs is a very bad thing. I mean, the taboos have certainly been removed over time to some extent. Bikinis, for instance, are much more revealing today than they used to be in the past. However, it doesn't stop the mothers from being upset at their daughters from engaging in these behaviors that are becoming more and more common and attempting to cling on to their old value set and attempting to force them onto the younger generation. And I think that's where some of the resentment comes from. I think that's where some of the acting out comes from, in that, you know, this is bad, we're not supposed to do this, so therefore it's kind of the old forbidden fruit effect. It's bad to behave in this way, and it's also at the same time very sexy because it's bad to be wearing these clothes because mom says there's something wrong with it. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
Well, I think to some extent they want to emulate the people that they respect, and, you know, pushing the sexuality envelope is one of the ways that you get to be, you know, rich, famous, popular, whatever it is out there. So
that's a factor.
It's definitely a factor. I mean, look at Madonna. You know, she might be the mother of teenagers at this point, but at one point, you know, she sold sex a big time, and Britney Spears seems to understand that.
Oh, sex sells. Absolutely.
And the 13-year-old girl understands that, too.
Yes. When one considers our society, it's no surprise that our children have lost all sense of modesty, which I don't necessarily agree with that, all sense of modesty. I mean, they're not walking around naked.
Right.
And nudity doesn't necessarily equal sex or sexy. They're sort of tied in together a lot nowadays, or have been for a while, maybe.
What's the value in modesty, anyway? Isn't it sort of just a perception by these people that there's some sort of value to wearing clothes and being so-called modest? I would think that if everybody were to walk around naked for a couple weeks, I mean, presuming the weather was appropriate, that would kind of end all of this, you know, would end this whole conflict. Like, okay, now everyone's naked, we've seen it, now we've seen it, well, and we can move on with our lives.
I do think that clothes make, you know, clothes make a big impression on people. They're an important part of making an impression. I can tell you that when, you know, when I take Jack places and, you know, show him off, that I comb his hair. And there's certain little outfits that I like better than other ones. So he's got one in particular, this little cardigan that he wears. And I know that clothes affect the way that people think about you. You know, all things considered, I know that when I worked, you know, that I got more attention from women by wearing pressed Oxford shirts and, you know, pants with a crease in them than I did by wearing a t-shirt and some, you know, work pants. I certainly would have to wear both of them in the course of a week, so I would know what would get attention and what wouldn't. So clothes matter, and therefore what people think about you matters. Those things are, you know, they're important, but I don't know that, you know, what the next generation thinks about this generation, you know.
800
kind of weird.
800-259-9231, your thoughts on this, the whole issue of teenagers, sexuality, modesty, clothing. Whatever you want to comment on, 800-259-9231.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system with proven and guaranteed results for over 15 years? Would you like to stop any mortgage foreclosure and have a written guarantee that would make most attorneys scream? Hi, I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My Zero Debt Expert System has helped tens of thousands of people.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees, and I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, John, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
And you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors or pay a percentage of your debt. Call my experts today at 800-477-9256 and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. Or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Did you know that pH balance is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 9 or higher. Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals and elements. This product is a one-of-a-kind in its strength and effectiveness. Using plasma pH drops is one of the best ways to make your water alkaline while helping you get rid of acid and regaining your health and energy. With just 10 drops, you can raise the pH level of the water you drink up to the pH of 10. Alkalizing water helps the body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's A-L-K-A-Vision.com. Or call 269-344-3420 today.
The United States is bankrupt and the bankers want you bankrupt also. How would you like to be debt-free in 90 days guaranteed? DebtCrisisSolutions.com has helped tens of thousands out of debt since 1993 and will free you from the debt trap. DebtCrisisSolutions.com legally guarantees to put an end to wage garnishment, bank levies, and liens, and you won't pay one dime to creditors. With Debt Crisis Solutions program, you'll also restore your credit history and be protected from legal action without making one more payment to creditors. DebtCrisisSolutions.com specializes in credit report restoration, preventing wage garnishment and bank levies, liens, and judgments. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Become debt-free in 90 days, guaranteed. Call Debt Crisis Solutions now for a free consultation at 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Silver is mankind's oldest natural antibiotic. This very special mineral has been used for centuries by most cultures throughout the world. Utopia, Texas is home to a small but mighty supplement company called Utopia Silver, who offers colloidal products produced in distilled water without use of animal protein, nitrates, or saline solutions. Because our colloidal silver is made up of nano-sized particles, it can be better utilized at the cellular level, and germs can't mutate to be resistant like they can to modern-day antibiotics. Utopia Silver has a broad range of health supplements, including colloidal silver, gold, and copper, with a money-back guarantee on the colloidal products we produce. For 4 years, Utopia Silver has been fighting in the Texas courts against agencies that would steal our God-given rights of health care and freedom of speech. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIA silver.com. Or call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and help us win this battle.
This is the GCN Radio Network, home to hard-hitting talk radio.
This is Free Talk Live. You can dial in toll-free and bring up anything. 800-259-9231. It is Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
Join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features we give away, so enjoy those on us. Again, freetalklive.com. The features including archives. If you've missed a moment of the show, click and download right there on the front page of the website, going back for an entire year for free. At freetalklive.com, I want to invite you to the Free State Project Liberty Forum. You can get more information about it at freestateproject.org/libertyforum. Get signed up while you still can, while there are still tickets available. It may be a sellout. You can get a 10% discount by using our discount code, which is 2009FTL, 2009FTL. Lots of speakers, lots of fun. FreeStateProject.org/Liberty Forum. As we continue discussing the teen sexual issue here, there's a mom who has written an editorial in a UK newspaper. And she is talking about how the internet is apparently the cause of all of this generation's, this upcoming generation's problems when it comes to sex. Because, well, porn is easier to access than ever before, and so they're seeing more of this, and this is resulting in them taking their clothes off and being sluttier, and that, of course, all of this is very, very bad.
It's the dirty dancing where they're writhing up against each other, and
that's what it was in the 80s.
Copulating, well, that was
but that's
what,
still going
that's what,
on today,
honestly,
though.
What it was in the 50s. I mean, that's what it was in the 30s with swing. The fact is that this same argument has been going on by, you know, but people with
she's trying to make the case that it's worse, though.
Hidden away.
She's trying to make the case that now it's worse than it has ever been. That now this generation is the most with the least morals than any generation that has come previously.
I don't know that it's necessarily scientific studies she's done. I've heard that this generation is actually less likely to engage in actual sexual intercourse earlier or something like that. I've seen something written like that on the internet. I don't know what to believe, and honestly, it doesn't matter to me that much. I mean, it's completely outside of, it's like octogenarian sex. I don't care.
I personally don't see what is immoral about teenagers engaging in what is something that comes completely naturally. I mean, when you reach a certain age, puberty, you start to have thoughts about sexual things and you start to be curious about it. And so exploring those areas is a completely natural thing. It is only those who those uppity individuals, those stuck up puritanical individuals who have applied the idea that there's something immoral to what is a completely natural behavior. I'm not saying that kids should go out there and have sex all willy-nilly without being safe, but I am saying I do believe it's a natural process, and therefore there's nothing inherently immoral or moral about it. I think you get to make your own judgments.
My biggest problem with this is it's not immoral to have sex when you're 13. What's really sad is that most parents haven't taken the time to go into any sort of detail about sex education in general. So the kids that are having sex at age 13, they don't really know what they're doing. And that's dangerous. And
yeah,
I think that that's sort of what parents automatically say, well, sex is dangerous, you could get STDs, you could get pregnant. Well, maybe if you had been talking to your kid about these sorts of things, you know, didn't start doing it at age 14, maybe you started a little younger, like when they were old enough to ask the questions about sex in the first place,
mm-hmm.
they would know what they were doing. And I know now that I'm a lot safer, and since, you know, I've probably age 18 or so, I'm a lot safer with sex than I was when I was 13, 14, 15. That's just because I didn't know any better, and I'm really lucky that I didn't get pregnant or didn't get any diseases because I didn't know what I was doing.
No thanks to your mom. No thanks
to my parents at all.
Well, I do think that open lines of communication and parents being there as a resource for their teenagers is something that's going to work. And I'm for that. However, you know, you get into this gray area as to, I don't think personally that 13-year-olds should be having sex. That's my opinion.
I don't think there's much you can do about it.
And there's not. There's not much I can do about it. But, you know, you go down this spiraling path of, you know, where does one get involved? Where does one say, well, this is just not acceptable behavior? I mean, if a 13-year-old can make a decision to have sex with another 13-year-old, and by the looks of it, they can a 13-year-old make a decision to have sex with a 37-year-old? Can an 8-year-old make that same decision? You know, so you go down the list, because at some point you're talking about...
Can an 8-year-old get an erection?
Yes. I can tell you that any little boy can get an erection. Jack gets, you know, I mean, it happens. They get them.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't realize it happened that young.
You know, just happens. Little boys, and that's what's supposed to work. That's the reason for the universe,
well,
man.
Well, what's your answer, Julia, to Mark's question? I mean, I've answered it a million times on this show.
Should a 13-year-old be able to make the decision to have sex with a 37-year-old? That's a really hard one. I'm of the opinion that there really shouldn't be an age of an adulthood. I think that the way it should be is that children are essentially property because their parents take care of them until they are old enough to move out and live on their own. And I think that that age is really, really later than it should be because of a lot of factors, including government schools. So currently, when I think about 13-year-olds having sex with 37-year-olds, it sounds awful and gross and wrong.
It does.
But, I mean, there has to be some 13-year-old out there who's... And if you think about it... Sorry, I'm sort of thinking out loud here right now. I want to say hundreds of years ago, or maybe even 100 years ago, or decades ago. I mean,
it wouldn't have been unusual.
It wouldn't have been that unusual.
A 13-year-old girl to likely be married off
to be married off, exactly.
A 37-year-old man, you know, just either probably somebody who's a little better off. It would just be a guess. It's not that terribly unusual in that respect. I, you know, and from that standpoint, I don't have as big of a problem with that. If a 13-year-old girl and her parents say, yes, you can marry that 37-year-old man, I don't have a problem with that, because then you're talking about everybody who's involved being, you know, above board and okay.
Fortunately, I don't think that that many 13-year-olds have sex with 37-year-old men. And I guess I do believe that people, Yes, I think that a 13-year-old should be able to make that decision. I don't think it's that common, fortunately. I don't think that there are too many 37-year-olds out there who want anything to do with a 13-year-old.
Well, they want something to do with them. They probably just don't
13?
Want to have
13? I feel like 13 is a little young for
seems young
most
to
people.
Me, but I, you know, I mean,
like
some guys
16?
Like that waifish thing. I don't know. I mean,
let's go to your phone calls and talk to Jeremy in Montana. Jeremy, you're on Free Talk Live. Your thoughts?
Hey, guys, if anyone ever calls your girlfriend a whore, I'll kick their ass.
Thanks for that, Jeremy. I'm glad you're out there backing me up. Is that all you meant?
And kids will have sex just like us guys in their mid-30s. We'll have sex. And what am I, a whore? I'm not a whore. Maybe they're a whore. Maybe they're the ones that just wish they could have as much sex as I do. And then I'll hang up.
Thank you, Jeremy, as always.
Sweet.
Appreciate it. Let's talk to Frank in New York. Frank, you're on Free Talk Live.
Good evening.
It's on your mind.
Yeah, this is a very touchy topic. So
sure.
What I thought I'd do is just raise the point that one of the great failures of the United States is that there isn't a standard or a national uniform age of consent. And that would actually, you know, end the problems, you know, concerning this issue.
I don't think it would end anything. It would just create more problems. I mean, having an age of
consent. What do you think the age of consent should be?
Well, I think in the United States it varies from 14 or 15 to 18.
What do you think it should be, though? If you could pick the age of consent, the national
age
of consent,
what
would it be?
I know in Europe it's I believe, 15 years old, 15 to 16.
Now, is this new? Is it new that there is an age of consent in Europe? Because it used to be that it ranged from 13 to 16.
And in Canada,
yeah, but with the
14.
EU, with the common market in the European Union, that's one thing that's been sort of standardized. But it would vary from country to country. And if
it
we look back
does.
Historically, when the average life expectancy was maybe, you know, up to age 42, it wasn't uncommon for people to be married at 15 or 16, especially in Europe. And if we read the literature of, let's say, the Renaissance and the medieval period,
so,
people
Frank,
were married
15,
at 14.
16 would be okay for the United States?
Pardon me?
Would you say 16 would be all right for the United
you
States?
You know what? I'm going to play it safe and say 18.
Okay.
Because the age.
I can talk to you more about this with Frank in moments. It's
okay.
Free Talk Live.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the problem to return? Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect to your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home.
Call 888-629-9903 and sign up today. That's 888-629-9903.
My computer works. Does yours?
Peter Schiff on the economy.
We're broke. This is not just a financial crisis. This is an economic collapse.
The government is trying to interfere with the free market. All the government can do is create inflation. The government doesn't have any money. They're going to print it.
Doesn't matter if you get your money out of the bank, but then you take it to the grocery store and you can't buy anything.
We're going to die from the cure, not the disease.
The change that we need is less government. It's less interference. We're just going to get more of the same, only worse.
Schiffbomb.com, February 21st. Paid for by PEAC PAC. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
YourFoodStorage.com has been helping families prepare with the lowest priced, highest quality, storable food for over a decade.
And right now, a one-year food supply that feeds 4 to 5 people is only $39.95.
That's right, a one-year supply that feeds 4 to 5 people for under $4,000.
That's only 92 cents per person for each meal.
And comes with a 30-year shelf life. This amazing package has everything your family needs to survive for one full year. Your gourmet food is packed fresh when you place your order
and is shipped to your doorstep in about 2 weeks.
YourFoodStorage.com does not use any leftovers from Y2K.
No fillers, MSG, or GMOs.
Order now and receive free shipping anywhere in the lower 48. Visit YourFoodStorage.com.
That's YourFoodStorage.com.
Or call 888-814-0289. That's 888-814-0289. Remember, it's better to have it and not need it
than to need it and not have it.
Order now from YourFoodStorage.com.
In these uncertain times, safety and precaution are key. Don't rely on others for protection. Protect yourself and your family with products from PepperSpray.com. Pepperspray.com carries the largest assortment of pepper spray and personal safety devices on the web. From home safety to nighttime safety, we have the products you need. Order the discreet pepper mace baton, which relies on a powerful pepper formula that, upon direct contact with an attacker's eyes, forces them to slam shut, causing an intense burning sensation. This refillable unit is designed to be carried as a keyring, easily accessible pepper spray, and a defensive baton. Pepperspray.com is offering a special for all GCN listeners. Order the pepper spray baton and receive a free refill cartridge. Please click the GCN category tab on our site for this offer. Visit us today at Pepperspray.com. That's Pepperspray.com. Or call 800-908-9988. That's 800-908-9988.
This year, many of us will have to make the tough decision on what to cut back on and what's essential as we prepare for an uncertain future. In these troubled times, one of the most important things your family can have is good health. Some of the contributors to poor health are parasites, viruses, toxins, and heavy metals. It's a documented fact. 80% of all Americans and 85% of people around the world suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection. Now you can fight internal parasites, heavy metals, and high cholesterol naturally and safely by mixing fossilized phytoplankton powder, also known as FPP, with your favorite beverage once a day. FPP is now available to you from freshwaterorganics.com. A 2-month supply starts at just $17. FPP is so affordable you can't afford to do without. Visit freshwaterorganics.com or call them toll free at 888-949-3570. That's 888-949-3570.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Only moments remain. Enough time for your call if you make it right now at 800-259-9231. Your thoughts on sex or whatever you want to talk about. 800-259-9231, the number brought to you by our friends at SACL CAI. It is Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
And you can join us on our website at freetalklive.com, where all of the features we give to you free. Now, if you are enjoying the show and you want to help support Free Talk Live, you can learn how to promote Free Talk Live at promote.freetalklive.com. Whole list of things that you can do, including putting a bumper sticker on the back of your vehicle. Got an envelope in, a self-addressed stamped envelope today from a truck driver, which is really the ideal kind of person to be sporting the Free Talk Live bumper sticker.
What was his name?
Bill, I believe Bill. Yes, I think so. Anyway, if you send a self-addressed stamped envelope into Free Talk Live, we'll send you back a Free Talk Live bumper sticker, and you can put that on your vehicle, ideally. I mean, obviously, we can't tell you where to put it. You'll put it wherever you want, but certainly the vehicle would be the best place for us. So you can get all the details on that. I believe that's at promote.freetalklive.com. If it's not listed there, you can get the address from the front page of the website. Just scroll down a bit. You'll find it.
I think high schoolers putting them on their backpacks probably a good thing. That probably makes other high schoolers ask questions.
It's not a bad idea. I don't know how well it would work on a backpack, though, because it's a full-size 3-inch by 11-inch bumper sticker.
A binder?
Binder would work.
Resourceful folks, those high schoolers.
They can figure it out. Sure, sure. Let's continue here. Frank is on the line. Frank, you were telling us, as you have said in the past, that you believe the age of consent should be 18 years old. Julia, your response?
There's a reason for that.
Yes, sir.
Because, in a sense, every state in the United States has a definition of what is statutory rape under the state laws. So let's say in one state, let's say hypothetically in Tennessee or Arkansas in the 1950s, the age of consent for a boy or a girl was different. Now, I'm using the term boy and a girl because if I say man and a woman, that involves something else. But the age, so
are
to
you
have
saying
an age
a 17-year-old would be a girl and a boy, and that once you turn 18, you're a man and a woman?
That's correct, under the eyes of the law. So what's interesting about it is we have sort of like almost, I don't want to say double jeopardy, but we have a situation whereby you can have an age of consent below 18 in the state, but the statutory rape laws in the state will say anyone under the age of 18, whatever, falls under the statutory rape thing. So it gets to be a conundrum with most states. And I think we should have it just as we have the age to vote is standard in this country. It's 18 in all the states. It's not 18 in Pennsylvania and 21 in Hawaii. So in a sense, we should have an age of consent that standard, you know, that standardized for all 50 states. That would legally get us out of this dilemma. But I think it should be a moral issue decided by the individuals and their families. Some states
hold on a second.
Marry...
Wait, you think it should? Oh, wait, I'm confused. You're saying it should be a moral issue, but on the other hand, you're saying there should be a national age of consent?
Right, only because of the judicial or the legal
superstructure. Why not just get rid of statutory rape laws?
Right, the statutory rape laws define statutory rape as anything under the age of 18.
You didn't answer her question.
By and large. Go ahead.
Oh, I said, why not just get rid of statutory rape laws? I mean, if you don't agree with the way that the system's set up, why would you propose more laws instead of just getting rid of the law that's stupid in the first place?
Because like, in a sense, we never get rid of any laws in the United States. We just add them on to the legal code.
But we're talking about an ideal situation here,
yeah.
And Julia's saying if you want to achieve an ideal, why not get rid of the laws? I mean, we're talking about a fantasy land where you can have what you want.
Right. No, I do see her point, and she makes tremendous sense. But if you read even the feminist literature of the 1960s and early 70s, you'll see that, it was socially acceptable for women under the age of 18, but in high school or going into university or college to have sex. But it's interesting. The people of that generation that had a very liberal attitude in the 60s, it seems when they became parents, they became very shocked. They wanted to repress, I guess, the freedoms they had with their children. And I find it kind of humorous. I'm actually in my early 50s, so, you know, I went to school with a lot of men and women now that were, you know, classmates in the 1960s and early 70s, and the attitudes were very different. And, you know, it's kind of sad that at this day and age, you know, that there isn't a standardization that would allow for all of this stuff to, in a sense, disappear. Because ultimately, we mature earlier now. Our physiological system, our diets, make us, in a sense, at least sexually more mature now, by and large. Puberty comes earlier than it did 20 or 50 years ago, or 100 years ago.
Especially 100 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, but
the
if you look
just
at
better.
The codes, in many of the states, minors could marry with the consent of their parents. In areas like states of Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, a girl could marry at 14 with the consent of her parents 60 or 80 years ago.
Now it's probably under the
age of 18 with the consent of the parents, probably 16 to 17. But the point is, in those states, even with the age of consent, the overarching law that seems to supersede that is the statutory rape law. And, you know, again, it's sadly these cases are often brought out, you know, for other issues. And ultimately, when people are going to be – sex should be a very personal matter. And when people are mature physically – you know, they should be emotionally mature as well.
I agree, and if we had a more, I think, advanced society, thank you for the call tonight, Frank, if we had a more advanced society, then we would have that earlier maturity. And it goes back to what Julia had mentioned earlier, the idea that these government schools and sort of the system that we have where kids, young people cannot work until they're age 16 or 14, and they're just not able to become the adults that they might want to become because the system essentially keeps them as childlike as possible. I think we could have a society where young people are much more mature mentally than they are today at younger ages. So I think Frank is right. They may be maturing physically at a faster rate. They could be maturing mentally at a earlier time as well, but we're, as a society, restricting that maturity.
Yeah, my problem with, age of consent at 18, that kind of scares me. I had been in a serious relationship for 2 years when I was 18 years old, and involving sex, and I learned more about healthy sexual relationships, you know, in that relationship than I did in any of my stupid little one-night stands or whatever that I did with a teenager. I mean, if I had been forced to wait till I was 18, would that have been good for me? I don't see how.
Well, there would be no way that you'd have been forced to wait until you were 18.
I would have done it anyway, just like I did.
And had you gotten caught, then my life would have been ruined
because I would be statutory rape.
Oh, your life would have been fine. It's his life that would have been ruined.
That's true.
That's true, though. He was your age, wasn't he?
Yes.
Was he not?
It doesn't really matter.
I believe it depends on the state, but can't, I mean, if basically if you cry enough, your parents, and you can get your parents to take that case to court, a statutory rape case to court, I mean, the girl pretty much always has the upper hand regardless of age, and I didn't want to have sex. He forced me to.
So is there anything else you wanted to share from this angry mother in this article from the UK? This lady who is very upset at young people and the access to information they may have about sex?
Well, basically what she claims here sort of in the later part of the article is that social networking sites like Facebook and MySpace encourage teens to share information about themselves. And
they're really just meat markets of the internet superhighway.
And that supermodels are now girls' role models. But I feel like they always were. I don't feel like that's anything new. But she's claiming that because Britney Spears is now your role model as a 13-year-old girl, that you're going to be sluttier and that the Internet has allowed all of this to happen. And, I mean, the Internet certainly is a really open place, and you can find just about anything on the Internet. That absolutely is true. But, I mean, when I was a 13-year-old girl, I learned to dress slutty from Cosmopolitan magazines. So
yeah, Cosmo's some trashy stuff. Having dated women all along, I've liked Cosmo. It always had some great sex article. I would read Cosmo. I haven't read it in years.
They write the same thing every single month.
Fine, it's good enough for me. I don't care.
Right, but I feel like it's just a different medium for this stuff. Now, I understand where she's coming from.
A more accessible medium with more information, some of which will be inaccurate, but some of it will be far more accurate because you simply have a larger volume from which to select. So you can get better information now and faster.
You can probably get a lot more sex education information nowadays than you could 10 years ago. If you didn't talk to your parents about it, I guess you could talk to teachers who probably wouldn't address the issue, maybe a school counselor. Otherwise, it's your friends.
The fact is, teenagers and sex is a reality as it has always been. The internet is a reality. It's not going away anytime soon. So parents that have a problem with this,
they should monitor their kids. And I mean, there are all kinds of free market solutions out there.
Well, better than monitoring their kids, they should actually have that sit down conversation and be more open with their children and actually talk about these issues. Because if you try to turn it off, if you try to shut them out from the internet, and if you try to shut them off from information about sex, they're going to find out somehow, and it'll probably be in a much more dangerous manner than you would otherwise
experience.
It's been Ian here with you.
And Julia.
And Mark.
Back tomorrow night. Join us online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
How confidential is email? Consider this fact. In a recent survey of IT professionals, over 35% admitted to snooping through their boss's email. It's just one of the many privacy risks that come from relying on this aging technology. If such risks bother you, visit privacyharbor.com, a secure alternative that keeps messages private and beyond the reach of eavesdroppers. privacyharbor.com, because normal email is not secure.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.